I used to enjoy those made-for-TV programs called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. Going in those out-of-way places like Bethlehem, Georgia. Those places that the interstate just doesn't quite reach. Linda and I often talk about that day when we'll have an opportunity to just ride and go, and we say, we're going to do Americana. We're going to avoid the interstates, and we're just going to ride. Of course, you have to deal with those little town cops. But anyway, Linda's an affirmation to me of the journey. The journey of faith. A time to think about where we have been and what we would like to accomplish in our spiritual journey of faith. A time to think about our church and our direction. I wonder about Jesus during these days because we don't know a whole lot about what happened to Christ after the temple encounter at the age of 12 till now. We don't have a star that was, or angels singing, or those things that caused Jesus to know that it was time. I speculate that maybe he was journeying from Nazareth to Jerusalem and he made that turn to go toward the Jordan River. I wonder if it was a time of dedication for him. Was it a time maybe of family reunion to go visit his cousin John the Baptist out in the wilderness? Maybe he had heard some of the things that were taking place. But he goes and he steps into the water to be baptized. You know the story, John saying, I'm not worthy. Jesus is baptized. And either the crowd there heard the statement or it was a private encounter with Jesus. We don't really know. But Jesus heard those words. You're my son. My beloved. And with you, I'm well pleased. Boy, I remember those days as a young boy with my dad, wherever it happened to be. I can remember him being some of the most unusual places, and he would slip his arm around me and he'd say, son, I'm proud of you. Son, I love you. I can remember sometimes when he was saying, son, you shouldn't have done that too. Maybe brought a little discipline behind it. I tell people sometimes I was abused and didn't even know it. But I did know that I was loved. And Jesus knew that he was loved. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit entered him. This is a different encounter. And the force that drove him into the wilderness was the same force that drove the demons out of the demoniac. It wasn't the type of decision that we make about giving up chocolate or sodas for Lent. This was a fiery force that pushed him out into 40 days and 40 nights of struggling. And the Bible says that he was in all ways tempted like you and me. we talk about those three temptations that was mentioned a while ago, and yet it probably was a whole lot more. I think of those days in the military when being trained to endure tough decisions, and I've heard individuals say that it was because of the tough training that they were able to endure POW camps and some of the harsh treatment that they received. I remember one POW speaking particularly, and he was always told never to turn down medical treatment no matter what. And the dentist came, and he had a tooth that needed filling, and he filled the tooth with no Novocaine or deadening agent at all. And he said, "I passed out. The pain was so real, I passed out." And then he said, "But I stand before you today well. I stand before you today telling you that I overcome." Sometimes we experience struggles. Struggles come our way, and they're there maybe just so we can know what it means to overcome. A woman had a weakness for beautiful clothes, and she was unable to resist the temptation to the point of outrageous, extravagant spending. And she and her husband knew they needed to work on it, and so they decided what they would do, and they thought she was doing better. And every time she was drawn to a clothing boutique or to a display in a department store window, she would say to herself, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember how much you owe. You don't need it. You've worn the last dress that you purchased only once. You owe a fortune still. Remember how your husband feels about this. Don't do it. Get behind me, Satan." And she made a successful venture of this for 6 weeks. And then she came home one day and she had a gorgeous $350 dress. Her husband was floored, and he said, "Why?" And she said, "The devil got into me again." She said, "I just couldn't resist." And he said, "But how often have we talked about this?" He moaned. "It had worked for 6 weeks. For 6 weeks you've overcome by fighting back, saying, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" And she said, "This time it came too late. I thought I was strong. I thought that I was good enough, but before I knew it, I had the dress on. And looking at myself in the mirror, the dress was so gorgeous and it hung on me so well. And I fought back and I said, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" And she said, "Before I could get out of the mirror, he said, 'It looks just as good from the back as it does from the front.'" The first Sunday of Lent is a story of affirmation. You are my beloved. And it's a time of dedication and temptation, being forced with the wild beast for 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe some of you know about wilderness experiences in your own life. Maybe some of you know about struggles of maybe childhood neglect, adolescent abuse. Maybe some of you just know what the long, hard road is all about. You know what stamina and steadfastness is. You know what it means when the going gets tough, that the tough get going. You know about making right choices. And maybe some of you know about making wrong choices. Jesus was driven and alone. Leonard Sweet tells this story. We know about this slogger, so to speak, who has been celebrated as the shot in the arm. His name is Jeremy Lin. A first generation Asian American kid. A brainiac who aced the maths SAT scores and is a Harvard econ graduate who now has suddenly burst on the forefront of the NBA professional basketball world. But Sweet says there is no suddenly in Jeremy Lin's story. Rather, it's the story of a wilderness survivor. Jeremy Lin was a great basketball player for years. He was amazing in high school. And he sent homemade videotapes of his game exploits to a slew of colleges. He was only able to garner a spot in a Division II school, Palo Alto. Finally, Lin was accepted academically and athletically to Harvard, a college not renowned for its professional athletes. Sweet says a Harvard basketball player is kind of like being a Jamaican bobsled rider. He said Lin was harassed for his lack of muscle mass and his Asian American roots. Harvard econ graduates don't usually have to suffer many hardships after obtaining their Ivy League degree. Says they graduate as money managers and usually coast in a series of lucrative job offers. But Jeremy Lin wanted to play basketball. So he decided to try for the NBA instead of the MBA. No one gave him a chance. And finally, he landed a 2-year deal with the Golden State Warriors, and he was waived. He says, that's a pro athlete speak for being dumped. Lin was picked up by the Houston Rockets, and he was waived. In the midst of the NBA lockout, Lin was picked up by the New York Knicks, and the Knicks put him on the bench until injuries and absences gave him an in. And suddenly he found himself not the guy sitting on the bench, but a star for the New York Knicks. Sweet says, let's be clear, there was no suddenly about this star moment. Jeremy Lin had spent decades perfecting his skills, practicing his craft, sacrificing for his advancement. He worked long hours, practiced and persevered, put up with harassment, labored at the jobs we all take to make ends meet, slept on friends' couches, and kept on going. Jeremy Lin is now being lauded as some type of amazing star hero. He is called Super Lintendo. His fans are caught up in Lin's sanity. His story is dubbed Lindarella. But in reality, Jeremy Lin is a ditch digger. He made his mark by continually working, chipping away at that which blocked his path, by getting what he wanted with what he had to do. And despite what others told him, Jeremy Lin is a wilderness survivor. The week before he became a household name, Jeremy Lin slept on the couch of his brother and a fellow teammate because he didn't have a bed to sleep on. After leading the New York Knicks to 6 straight wins and being their top scorer and showing the coolness of leadership under pressure, Jeremy Lin didn't dare go back to crash on his brother's couch because a riot of enthusiastic friends would have swarmed the place. During the football season, there's a Christian sports enthusiast entitled Tim Tebow. The audacious quarterback and outspoken Christian who Tebowed before and after his on-field encounters, Jeremy Lin is also a self-avowed, unabashed Christian. His humility and graciousness, his team unity messages are all marks of his genuine spirit. Tim Tebow was a star and a Christian who has always been the golden child of football. But Jeremy Lin is the one star whose time in the wilderness is well documented. Nobody ever wanted Jeremy Lin. At best, he was momentarily appreciated for his abilities. At the same time, he was being dismissed because of his academic achievements and his Asian heritage. He had gifts and graces, but he needed grit and gumption to put them into place. The wilderness is a real and raw place. The wilderness is a place of chaos and discord. The wilderness is an encounter with Satan, the enemy of us all, and the enemy of our souls. The wilderness might be a familiar place for us, but God calls us. God calls us to have grit and gumption and courage and confidence and faith, the gift of God for the people of God. Amen.